to Little Rock for my Uncle Stan to pick me up and take me to Because of the Times. I didn't know that you had to wear a suit every service. So I brought my best Tommy Hilfiger shirts and ties with dogs on it and my one suit and came to Because of the Times, and my life will never be the same. I give honor to my in-laws and the Mangans, of course. They're along subsequent to my parents, certainly the most influential people in my life. And Brooke and I thank you for that. And to preach today with four of, man, the most powerful apostolic preachers in the world today. And also my favorite, four of my favorite preachers is just a great honor. So I give honor to them, and I can't say enough about them. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. The words will be on your screen, but if you could open that. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Pastor Blackshear read this already, but I want to, so I'll just skim through it quick. Verse number 23, are they in the ministry? Are they ministers of Christ? I am the more. Laborers, or labors more, stripes above measure, prisons frequent, deaths often, of the Jews, 39 stripes, three times beaten with rods, stoned, shipwrecked, night and a day in the deep, journeys, waters, robbers, perils of mine own countrymen, perils of the heathen, the city, the wilderness, the sea, false brethren, weariness, painfulness, watchings often, hunger, thirst, fastings, cold and naked. But look at verse number 28. Beside those things, turn to somebody and say, beside all that. Now that's a lot. We've gone through a lot. Take that Paul Bunyan in his truck and throw him in the water and see how bad he feels. Beside all that, that which cometh upon me daily, day after day. Now, I only got beat with rods. Now, I got beat by rod a lot. But he only got beat by rods a few times. I mean, come on, I can endure that. You know, you fast, you get to eat later. It's no problem. Your own countrymen, you unfollow them. You get over it. Block them. But there was something that came on him daily that pushed against him. The care of all the churches. If you could back up just a little bit to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, 2 Corinthians 4, and verse number 8, 2 Corinthians 4 and 8. We are troubled, somebody say, on every side. Yet not distressed. We're perplexed, someone say perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, not forsaken, cast down, not destroyed. But verse number 10, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Now again, he's describing to something to us that was perpetual. He said, I'm troubled everywhere I look, distressed, perplexed, persecuted, cast down, and I've always got this pressing on me, bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Philippians 3 and 10 called it the fellowship of his sufferings. You don't know Jesus until you suffer. And why this? That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. He's talking about the cross and the resurrection. I die daily so that I can be resurrected with him through the power of the Holy Ghost. I suffer so I know him. Verse number 11, for we which live are always delivered unto death. Again, using somewhat Hebrew parallelism that you see in the poetic scriptures. Always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. We die so that we can live. And lastly, and I know you've been standing a while, Luke chapter number 4, and I'll just read a couple of scriptures. This is, of course, mentioned also in Matthew 4. We'll use the Lucan chapter. Verse number 4, the temptation of Christ. And Jesus being, someone say, full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. If you could, lastly, drop to verse number 14. And Jesus returned, someone say, in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went out a fame of him throughout all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues. Now that he is being glorified. That word that is used in verse number 1 of Luke chapter number 4 is describing his condition in the Spirit, an admirable, enviable position, when he said that Jesus went in full of the Holy Ghost. Not a pejorative comment at all, but he was saying he was full. The word is pleres. It means... It's the same word that was used in Matthew chapters 14 to 15, the feedings of the 5 and the 4,000, that they gathered up fragments because everybody was full. That's what that word is, same place. But then when we drop down, that familiar word to every Pentecostal preacher, that he returned in the power of the Spirit. That's dunamis. That the same word that was used in Matthew 6 of the Lord's Prayer, that Jesus talked about the power of the kingdom, also 1 and 8, Acts 1 and 8, ye shall receive power. That same thing. So what he was talking about was Jesus went in to the greatest trial of his life pre-Calvary, full of the Holy Ghost. But after he endured the trial, he emerged, somebody say, after the trial, he emerged in the power of the Spirit. I want to preach to you for the next few minutes on the subject, by endurance, we conquer. I want you to raise your hands and your voice. Come on, if you need a word from the Lord, I wish there'd be somebody that would pray right now. I wish there'd be somebody that's desperate, would lift up their voice. Come on, that's it, that's it, that's it. Pray. God, help us right now. Help us right now. We need a word from the Lord Jesus. We need a word from the Lord. Amen. God bless you. Thank you, Pastor Cam. You may be seated in Jesus' name. The newspaper invitation was seen throughout all of London as an Arctic explorer by the name of Ernest Shackleton made an appeal for what was, of course, to be known as a very and perhaps of the most ambitious journeys in the world. As the article read, men wanted for hazardous journey, small wages, bitter cold, long months of complete darkness, constant danger, safe return, doubtful. But if we happen to get home, honor and recognition in case of success. Five 5,000 men responded. 26 were accepted, and one brother snuck on the boat. This journey was one of the most remarkable in history and shows to us one of the great joint acts of leadership and perseverance in the history of time. As these men boarded this ship in London, England, they sailed south to Buenos Aires, Argentina. And they left and they traveled south. Of course, with Peary having already conquered the North Pole and Amundsen edging Scott to plant the flag on the South Pole. This was the last of the Arctic frontiers. And Shackleton, being a great explorer, a contemporary to these others, he had to do it. And so he decided, I will travel to Antarctica and I will get off the ship and I will be the first to lead a team across Antarctica by foot and by sledge. And so they headed that way. But along the journey, on October 27th, 1915, in the middle of the Weddell Sea, history tells us that as they were 1,200 miles from the South Pole and 1,200 miles from civilization, the diaries now report, as we have read about them later, and Alfred Lansing recorded this in his work, the words of Shackleton when he said, "There for the first time, we met the enemy, a small patch of ice." They had prepared for everything. Every storm, every wind, they had been trained and taught. But they met the enemy when they met the ice. They easily navigated it, but quickly after that, of course, we know that they came into a large flow of pack ice. And they rammed against it and weren't able to break through. And they took the day off to try to see if they could not waste all their fuel and try it again tomorrow. But as they woke up the next morning, the ice had come in from behind the ship and completely surrounded it with several feet thick of ice. They tried for weeks and weeks to hand chop away. They couldn't get out. They tried to start up again this 350 horsepower steam engine and ram against it, and it did nothing. And so they sat there and they waited, fearing they may have to wait all the way to springtime, which would have been months and months and months and months away. And then it happened. The thing that would be the very idea, force, and entity that would threaten their lives, they felt it for the first time, pressure. Because that ice was not smooth, and there was chips and chops from where it had piled up for years and years. And just simply by the wind scraping across, making now, of course, possibly traveling as long as 14,000 miles to make its way all along the ice, and the ice constricting, and the ice growing, and the ice gathering. It found the one thing that was not supposed to be in the Weddell Sea. They found that ice, found the one thing that was not of this world. It found the one thing that wasn't supposed to be right there. And it just simply began to squeeze. And those diaries now record what happened to that boat as the ice began to put pressure upon that boat. The sides were the first thing to begin to move as it bowed. Beams that were 14 inches thick began to move, and they began to feel literally like the walls were coming in, and it began to crack. And they described it as a human that would be enduring a sharp pain, it would wince. And as a stabbing, it would jerk. The mast would begin to snap, and the riggings would be so tight from the crushing of the ship that it was as tight as harp strings. And it began to squeeze and squeeze. And the water began to rush in. And these sailors that had trained all their life feared for their safety. And the call was given at 5 p.m. Abandon ship. 26 men grabbed what they could, walking through waist deep icy water, and they jumped out and they stood hundreds and hundreds of miles from land, standing on the sea, dripping, cold, wet, frozen, without food, without hope. And they stood there and they watched their ship be crushed in front of them. Could there not be a more powerful metaphor for ministry? That we gather up our family and our hopes and our dreams. Come on, kids, we're gonna join the ministry. It'll be easy, I say. There'll be smooth sailing. Look at London, this is beautiful. Oh man, Buenos Aires, this has gotta be fun. Let's just sail on this peaceful day and let's just, come on kids, we're gonna have a lot of fun. But we find ourselves sometime later, we just turn around real good and we, after a couple of church splits and after a couple people move away, Brother David, and after some problems come and finances go down and we don't get to go to Because of the Times every year. And we miss General Conference because we had to work our second job. And our kids aren't doing as good as school as we had hoped. And they're not connecting to the Word of God like we hoped. And all of a sudden, we feel that enemy called ice, that pressure that joins around us. And we feel the finances slowing down. And people don't want to come to church. And we have problems with money and problems with millennials and problems with move-outs and all these problems, and they're just pushing in on us, and we wonder to ourselves, dear God, why did I sign up for this? And I want to minister to somebody in this house today, and I want to let you know that I know, and I felt it in prayer, that you have felt the pressure of ministry. You have felt those wheezings and those jerkings and those stabbings. You have felt those perils of your own countrymen. You have dealt with all of these things that the Apostle Paul dealt with. But I've come to tell you today that there is good news in this house, that God knows right where you're at. You're not alone. The ship, when Ernest Shackleton purchased that ship, it was named Polaris. But Sir Ernest Shackleton, as he would later be knighted by the crown, he had a family motto that had been in his family for years. And that motto was, by endurance, we conquer. There was something in his DNA that his fathers had told him, that Mr. Shackleton, son, There may be a day that you find yourself in the middle of the frozen Weddell Sea. There may be a day when there isn't somebody there telling you how good you are, telling you how great you are. And in that moment, let me tell you what it will be that'll get you through. Let me tell you, son or grandson, what mental toughness it'll take to get you to the other side. And that is this. It's nothing miraculous. It's nothing that would even seem to be impressive, but it is simply by endurance we conquer. I'm going to tell somebody that because of the times, this may not seem profound, but I'm going to tell you how you're going to get out of your mess and how you're going to get out of your winter and how you're going to get out of the Weddell Sea. It's just simply by endurance we conquer. Keep praying. Keep fasting. Go back to that pulpit one more time. Start that Bible study one more time. Preach vision one more time, because it's simply by endurance that we will conquer. It is simply by going every day, and God will give you blessing. Come on, clap your hands unto the Lord and receive that right now. Endurance, by endurance. Second Corinthians chapter number 11 is quite the passage, and Brother Blackshear already preached this. And after all of these things that he went through, struggles, labors, stripes, prisons, beaten, stoned, shipwrecked, he had to admit and say that beside of all of that, let me tell you what really gets in my crawl. Let me tell you what bugs me every day. It's the pressure that I feel from all of the churches. The people that I love when they have needs and I can't help. When the church that I gave my life to in this city or that is struggling. When you wrote to me, Corinth, and you said that you've turned back to false idols, it weighs on me. It pushes me. It presses me. He said it earlier in 2 Corinthians that I'm troubled on every side. I feel it from Troas. I feel it from Corinth. I feel it from Ephesus. And I've got to be honest to you and say that from every side, it's pushing in and it's giving me this unbelievable feeling of pressure. And I know today that I stand before people who work 2 and 3 jobs. And you feel like maybe there's some of you that are here today that you limped into because of the times, knowing your attendance is still not back to pre-COVID numbers, knowing that there still is maybe some difficulty that is coming against you because of culture. But I want to tell you today that you are not finished, that God has something great for you today, and it will be by endurance we will conquer. By endurance, we will win. By endurance, we will have revival. Philip Brooks said this: do not pray for easy lives. Pray to be stronger. Don't pray for tasks equal to your powers. Pray for power equal to your task. Then the doing of your work will be no miracle, but you will be the miracle. I want to tell you today that God put a calling on you. God put his name on you. Jesus put his spirit inside of you. And if you're looking for the way that you're going to get out of this mess, I got good news for you today. You're the miracle. You're the one that's called. I want somebody to stand up right now and say to the top of their lungs, I am the miracle. I want you to convince yourself of it and say, I am the miracle. What do we we gonna do to get out of this mess? You're looking at it. I am the miracle. I have a word from God. I have a calling from God. I want you to turn to somebody and encourage them right now in the Holy Ghost and say, you're the miracle. Tell them again, you're what's gonna get us out of this. You've got a word, pastor, preach it. You've got an anointing, use it. Tell somebody else, say, you're the miracle. You're the miracle. God bless you, may be seated. So I'm gonna go to my text this morning, Luke chapter number 4. We read it, and Jesus being, somebody say, full of the Holy Ghost, he's led into the wilderness. And we see this triple threat, these satanic ifs. It could be described in many ways, but you could say that in a very crafty, memorable from Genesis 3 attack, the devil begins to lie to him and he questions Jesus, deity, omnipotence, and sovereignty. And he pushes from every side, questioning his calling, questioning his power, questioning his rule and reign. And Jesus, using the word of God, now formed in flesh, he pushes back on him with everyone with the word of the Lord. And the Bible says that when he completes successfully these pushing back these temptations, these trials, he returns in the power of the Spirit. Different now. Not filled only, but filled in power. As my 71 South colleague would say, it's interesting, Brother Joel. This is interesting. As Jesus experienced something in this wilderness that changed him. Now you would look back at this and you would say, Peach, what is good about this? I mean, he's being tempted by the devil. He's fasting. Somebody who hates fasting, say amen. Listen, by the way, if you're fasting like 50 days, but you're eating peanut butter every day, don't brag about it to me. Please. Jesus wasn't eating peanut butter and wheat spaghetti in the wilderness. I'm fasting and I got this amazing new recipe with these spaghetti noodles and the sauce and these peanut butter desserts. You may feel worse, I feel better. So Jesus is enduring all of these lies, these temptations. I think in some way, and doctrinally, this if this fits with you, might I say, it's almost as if the enemy reminded him and somehow played to his ability to step out of being fully man to being fully God, from being temporal to being eternal, and shows him things that would have taken years to see. He shows it in a moment. So this temptation, I believe, wasn't just a few minutes long, but this temptation could have exceeded what we would have measured as 40 days. This trial could have taken a great length of time in some regard. And the Bible says that what it produced in Jesus was power. that the trial produced the power. I want you to see your Lord and Savior here today. When he comes out of this wilderness, when he comes out of this trial, he wasn't coming out broken and bruised. He came out of the trial in power. And so will you. I want to talk to somebody today, and I want you to let you know that what you're enduring right now will not kill you. It's going to give you power. That very thing that has tried to crush your church, you're going to step on it just like the lion and the adder, and you're going to walk out of here on the very thing that threatened your life. Shackleton told those men, you grab those lifeboats. Wait a minute. The endurance is 144 feet long. These boats are just 22 feet long. We gotta go almost 1,000 miles in this thing. He said, you get in that boat. There's no water. You push that boat. They floated around on pieces of ice that were as big as 5 football fields that break in half, that fall in the water, that'd push the boat in, they'd start rowing. They lived on trying to find seals and shoot them. They were being hunted by sea leopards. If you don't know what a sea leopard is, you better Google it and never go to Antarctica. Think of like a convergence between an elephant and a great white shark. They lived, when they ran out of food, they lived on 4 ounces of dog food a day. When their fingers got frostbit, they cut them off. When their feet got frostbit, they cut them off. Shackleton said, the number one thing that we had to fight was not the weather. The number one thing we had to fight was morale. But if we could keep the morale up, we kept walking. And those brothers walked and rode 800 miles in over a year, and nobody had heard from them, but they came out and they all lived and no one died. And I'm going to tell you, if some guy who was just an Antarctic explorer made it 800 miles, you can make it through your trial. You're going to make it through your trouble. You're going to make it. I want to come against the lie of the enemy that says you're not going to make it and you don't have enough money and things are too difficult. I want to tell you right now, you will make it in Jesus' name. God bless you. May be seated. Listen, I'm gonna talk about my friend for a second. Come here, Jen. Let me tell you something. What Brother Weber said last night was anointed of the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you something. I took it from my dad's a big deal, and his dad was a big deal. And here I am. I'm the kid. I've had people walk up to me before and say, man, you really lucked out. At least I haven't messed it up yet.
Not yet.
And here's this guy. And everybody wants to be Gentry Mangan. Everybody, oh man, if I had all these people and if I had all this money. Let me tell you something. Everybody's been shot. I don't want to have 100 people that are on my payroll. And I don't want to have 6,000 pirates watching my web stream every day and gossiping about me. If I do anything, they're going to have a comment about it. Let me tell you something. You may think, oh man, he's got it real easy. Let me tell you something. Every person in this place needs endurance. And what you and I need to focus on is saying, you know what? I know that I'm doing what God has called me to do, and all I can need to do is keep praying, keep fasting, keep believing. By endurance, we conquer. God bless you. James chapter 1, he said, count it all joy. Now, I want you, when I read this scripture, I want you to think about all the mess you got in your life. I want you to think about the money problems. I want you to think about the drama. I want you to think about how the people that used to volunteer four times a week show up four times a year. How you got to have a prayer meeting to get coffee brewed sometimes in the morning. I want to talk to somebody that was so excited and text all your friends when somebody pledged, oh, this big pledge, we're going to give this big pledge every week. And it lasted about 3 weeks and they went on a cruise and it stopped. I want you to hear the word of the Lord. He said, count it all joy when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Thomas Carlyle said, no pressure, no diamonds. No cave, no coal. No oyster, no pearl. And if there's not something pushing you and pushing me, we will never receive our power. But by endurance, we will conquer. And I want to talk to somebody as I close today and take you back to Job and take you back to everything he lost and take you back to everything he endured and take you back to how he must have felt when his children died and his friends were not giving him good advice and when his own spouse wasn't able to be there strong for him and he had endured so much, but he pushed back from the table. He threw himself in the ground and he said, when he hath tried me, I will come forth as gold. And I want to tell somebody today that I know that you're here and you're feeling that pressure from every side. But I want to let you know that in just a moment, God's going to minister to somebody in this place. And that by endurance, by praying again, by preaching again, by teaching again, by going on a long fast again, by endurance, you will conquer. I want you to stand to your feet and lift up your hands all over the house right now. Come on, I want you to begin to pray. And we're going to ask that apostolic ministry would break out in this place right now. I come against that idea to give up. I claim in the name of Jesus that the very thing that has come against us, we're going to walk on top of it on our way out of Alexandria. Come on, I want you to lift up your voice. Come on, let a spirit of prayer break out. Come on, Zion, travail. Travail. Lay your hand on somebody you're standing near right now and say, God, let them have endurance. God, let them have strength. I'm going to pray again. I'm going to fast again. I'm going to have another revival. I'm going to call that evangelist today. I'm going to call that prayer meeting today. Come on, that's it. Let the gifts operate. Ask the Lord to give you a word right now. Come on, don't give up. Don't give up. Close the church. Don't stop the Bible study. Come on, that's it. If you need a word from God, lift up your hands and begin to cry out to God. By endurance, I will conquer. By endurance, I'll conquer. I'll go back to the prayer room and fix it. I'll preach again and fix it. I'll get anointed and God will help me. I'm the miracle. Come on, let God take you back to your calling right now. Let God take you back to your burden right now. Go home and preach the gospel. Go home and believe God for great things. Count it all joy when you go through stuff. Count it all joy when you have problems. When he questions your identity, when he comes against you and tempts you and tries you, count it all joy because your power's coming back. Your power's coming back. Resist the devil, he'll flee. If you're going through the pressure and the test of your life and you feel it, you feel trouble on every side, I want you to raise your hands right now and someone's going to pray for you right now. Let's wait on the Lord. Come on, just wait on the Lord. If you came to Because of the Times and you needed God to give you a breakthrough, this is a word from you. By endurance, you're going to conquer and your brothers and sisters are going to pray for you right now. Come on, lift up your hands. Come on, church, one more time. Lift up your voice. Let's pray God encourages somebody. Let's pray that God blesses somebody. That's it. Come on, that's it. Pray. Pray like you wanted somebody to pray for you when you were in that mess, when you were in that church split, when you were in that legal trouble. Come on, you're not by yourself. You got a church family. That's it. Mi hermano, mi hermana, mi familia, con resucite, conquistamos, con resucite, conquistamos, todos la iglesia, come on, that's it, by endurance, we conquer. Lift up your voice and pray for somebody.